Well, A, that's not surprising. B, I wouldn't necessarily call it misfortune. It's just an unlikely transition in my writing career. Exactly. And it's not my fault then I was out the door, so it's a much different situation. Yeah, yes it is. Well, the change is twofold. One is I have secured a new day job, which will make me less of a freelancer, but my employer is a company called TechTarget, which considers CBS Interactive a direct competitor, and so they look pretty upfront and say, you know, you take this job because it can't work for the guys who are trying to compete against me. So, okay, I understand that. So, I had to do that for Czech Republic. TechTarget is, if you're really in IT, you guys are, they're sort of a direct Czech Republic competitor in that they are high-end IT guys. If you're on building a storage area network, they probably have a micro site. In fact, they probably Google it right now, probably Microsoft on that storage area networks or corporate broadband. Their model is a lot of micro sites, but they had been in that sort of enterprise space for a long time, and they wanted to get into consumer space, which is a pristine proper in. And they bought a site called Technology Guide, which does consumer hardware reviews. So if you want to do as an individual, if you're buying a laptop or a printer or a smartphone, they want to get in that space. That's where I was in Cincinnati, which is just an hour and a half from me. And that once they got bought by TechTarget, they're ramping up and they're going to get big time. And so they're willing to let me work out of my house. I got to be there once a week or so. Works for me. Well, as you know, Mike, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and when I was this past year, when I've been doing startups and freelancing, I'm working 7 to 8 hour weeks. That's too much. And so, you know, when I told my wife, I got to give up my second job, I was hoping to get a day job and we keep the public on the side. She's like, I'm looking so forward to you only having one job, only being in front of a keyboard 40 or 50 hours a week. That would be so wonderful. Oh, okay. I hadn't realized that was an issue. Really neat. Exactly. We're doing fine around here. It's the big joke here in town is that we Louisville won't worry until it's forced to. Definitely have a real problem of actually getting in contact with it. So, absolutely. Our town is completely insane. If anyone ever wanted to visit me today, is the absolute worst thing possible. There's my hotel room within 150 miles of this city right now. Wait, if you go to Twitter today and they put their trending topics in the right hand column, which I think is a nice feature, like the Derby and the favorite horse, I Want Revenge, they got scratched, are like two of the top five. trending topics on Twitter today, which surprised even me. I don't think that, like, the Derby had entered even a Twitter sphere yet, but clearly it has. I think it was free advertisement. Well, they stole it from a comic strip. They stole it from a Little Abner comic, which is probably too old school for a lot of listeners, but it was huge. It was the Calvin and Hobbes of its day in the 40s to the 60s. And there was a character in Little Abner called Big Barnsmell, who was basically a hillbilly that brewed moonshine from skunk musk and old shoes. I kid you not. And his still was called the Skunk Works, S-K-O-N-K. And when the Skunk Works was formed, the Advanced Development Project Commission for Rocky, it was downwind from a chemical plant, a rubber plant that really made the whole area smell like a really terrible chemical stench. And so a man named Culver, Irvin Culver, who was the main project leader on a lot of big things, like the PA Shooting Star fighter plane, would always answer the phone inside Van Culver at the Skunk Works. And he eventually accidentally answered the phone that way to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And luckily for him, they thought it was funny, and sort of it became the Skunk Works, S-K-O-N-K, to everybody. And so Little Abner found out about it, that the publisher of the syndicate basically sent a letter to Lockheed Martin, this little comic strip publisher, saying, you can't use our copyrighted nickname for your multi-billion-dollar research project. So they changed it to Skunk Works, like the proper spelling. And that's fine. Well, it's called Skunk Works, because we're down with the plastics factory, that deniability, whatever. Everyone will still know us as who we are, as the Skunk Works. And that's how it's been ever since. Well, I want to know, what lawyer out there is like, you know what? I bet the government to hold the copyright to this slowly going out of date comic strip to sue guys that make fighter planes and missiles. And pull it off. And Lockheed Martin says, they're like, that's fine, we'll change one letter and ignore you. You're not. Thank you. sort of an automobile move with all the news coming out of the Detroit Chrysler bankruptcy and whatnot. And I'd like to preface this question with, most people know that the most successful Ford sports car of all time is the Ford Mustang. What a lot of folks don't realize is that the hero of Chrysler, Lee Iacocca, was the project manager on the Ford Mustang. He used to work for Ford before he worked for Chrysler, and he's the guy that basically created the Mustang. And a lot of people don't realize that. And what's even more interesting than that is that he made the Mustang out of the Ford Falcon, which was a not very successful, a moderately successful, sort of stage number-crunching, penny-pinching compact tie car. And what's really interesting about that is that Iacocca took over the Falcon product line from someone even more famous than him, arguably. So who was the product manager for the Ford Falcon that went on to become famous outside of the automobile industry and in fact became a major historical picture? Oh, you very much well. He is one of the probably 20 most influential figures of the 20th century. Go that one step further. What amuses me is that when Iacocca was fired, he was fired largely over the fact that he wanted to build a minivan at Ford, and Henry Ford II didn't want him to. So he went to Chrysler and made the most successful Chrysler product in the history of the company, which was the Dodge Caravan. And for you guys to get your FCC license or whatever. Sorry, I was assuming you guys had an FCC license. I'm going to be completely honest. You could be a pirate radio host, but I don't know. I'm not disbelieving. I'm asking for data on a possible trivia question. When and how did the WRLR get an FCC license?
In the Green Lane Shopping Mall, it's 2144 Grand Avenue in Boise. For movie profiles and event tickets, the website is www.markettheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Market Pretty Cinema can host your private party at 20 movie screens and accommodations for the disabled. Market Pretty Cinema creates magical movie memories.
Uncle Jason, and I admit, my entire love for them. And Uncle Ken loves music. And we listen to them every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on 98.3 WRLFM. Why do we listen to them again?
Duh, because Uncle Ken loves to talk about cooking.
Oh, yeah. So what does Uncle Ken do there?
I'm not sure, but if you listen to them on Thursday nights at 6, you can find out.
By the way, Teddy, what's for dinner?
Oh, here. Eat this.
Cool.
And you can listen to us every Thursday night at 6 right here on 98.3 WRLR.
Hello. Hello. How's it going? Yeah, well, I've written more than 90 books over the past two decades. I tend to write about a half dozen books a year on various topics. Not all tech topics, by the way. Some of my best-selling books are about music, of all things. But Speed It Up, the book you mentioned, is the one that just came out from Q. I've also got a search engine optimization book, a Complete Idiot's Guide to Search Engine Optimization, and a book about moving away from eBay called Selling Online 2.0 for everybody who's kind of getting fed up with the eBay marketplace. Well, that's true. eBay is trying to make the experience, I think, a little bit better for buyers, especially buyers, newbie buyers. But in doing so, it kind of ticks off a lot of sellers. You can't please both. And so a lot of people are looking for alternatives. But, you know, this is where I get the ideas for my books. I look at what's happening out there. In fact, you know, the idea for the Speed It Up book basically comes from friends and family. Within the course of a week, I had about a half dozen people coming with the same issue. My computer's slowing down. What can I do to speed it up? And when I get that many people asking me about stuff, I know that's a book topic. Well, you know, I think the thing is people are holding on to their PCs longer. I mean, I used to buy a new PC every 2 years. And, you know, I just bought a new desktop, and my old one was 5 years old. You know, so I doubled the length of time I hold on to my computers. I think that's the case with a lot of people. Now, even though computers are lower priced now than they used to be, still, you know, you really don't need to buy a new one that often. Things aren't changing that frequently. But, you know, as the longer you keep a computer, it certainly seems like the more it slows down. And that, I don't think, is a figment of most people's imagination. It's actually true that the longer you keep a PC, the slower it's going to run. You know, so what can you do to get it back into its original working condition, if, at the very least, in its original working condition? That's the key. Thank you. you know, you hit on something there. The key to a fast computer is running it lean and mean. You don't want to, you want to reduce the amount of overhead you have on it. So you want to strip out all the things that you don't do or that you don't use. You know, when you first buy a new computer, you know, all the bloatware aside, the stuff that comes loaded onto it, the commercial stuff that you don't want, the computer's pretty clean. You know, it doesn't have a lot of stuff clogging up the work. But over time, the more things you install, the more things you try, the more websites you go to, the more stuff just gets added to the hard disk and the start menu and into memory and takes up processing time, and that's what slows things down. If you can clean those things out, you can get a speedy computer back. Well, you know, the first thing is just, you know, kind of time the things that you do every day. How long does it take to go to your favorite website? How long does it take to open a specific Microsoft Word document? And, you know, if it's noticeably slower, a couple seconds slower, your computer's slowing down. You know, for that matter, you know, if you start loading on some new programs and they run slowly, you know, if you have trouble running something, sometimes it isn't just even a matter of things running slowly, it's a matter of things not running at all. So all these things are signs that your computer is slowing down. Now, you know, what causes those things is another issue. You know, just what steps can you take, you know, from the easy ones to the hard ones, to get things back into shape? I think there are two relatively common and easy things that have a big impact. And the first question I ask people, by the way, when they tell me their computers are slow, they say, do you have teenagers in the house? Because if you do, your problem is 9 times out of 10 spyware. Because teenagers love to go to the file trading sites. And I'm not talking about iTunes or the Amazon MP3 store, not the legal stuff, but the stuff where you get the music that may not be quite legal. Yeah. All that stuff, because, you know, unfortunately, amongst all the music and videos out there is a lot of spyware. In fact, a lot of the software that you use to actually do the file trading is itself infected with spyware. So if you've got a kid going to these sites, they're going to have a lot of spyware on their machine. And if you can use a good anti-spyware program and clean that out, you know, that might be the thing that speeds things up. You know, just another good reason not to do the file trading stuff. I mean, you know, there are so many good reasons not to. they can just mess things up so bad. You know, unintentionally, of course, you know, it's just trying to get the music or share their files or whatever, but so many different ways you can script your machine, either from the spyware or just taking up the bandwidth, you know, or whatever, and aside from the legality of it. You know, you just don't want to do it. So that's the thing you want. You know, so if you've got a teenager in the house especially, look for spyware. But I look for spyware anyway. You ought to be running a good anti-spyware program, Adware, Spybot, Windows Defender, whatever, on a regular basis. Because spyware, you know, spyware is unlike a virus. Viruses will actually do damage to your computer. But viruses are, you know, it's actually kind of rare. You know, they do big damage, but you're not really that likely to get one. Spyware doesn't do damage, but there's a lot of them out there. You're very likely to get one. In fact, if you get one, you're likely to have 10 of them or 20 of them. And that's what slows down your machine. It's all the adware running in the background, all the adware and spyware running in the background, taking up the processing cycles and taking up the memory. That's what slows things down. You clean them out, and you're running a lot faster and a lot cleaner automatically. And that's the first thing I checked. The second thing I checked is all the little programs and apps that are running in the background, all the things that start up automatically when you launch Windows. You know, if you look down on your system tray, bottom right-hand side of the Windows taskbar, you're going to see icons, all these little icons for things. Well, those are just some of the things that are starting and running in the background. You know, I don't know why it is, but these days it seems like every other program you install thinks that it needs to be running in the background just in case you want to use it sometimes when you start up faster. You know, if you buy a new digital camera and you install the software that comes with the digital camera, it will launch a little photo loader that runs in the background. So just in case you plug in your camera, it'll load the photos for you, you know. And that's fine, but when every other program you load on your computer does that, you have a lot of stuff running in the background. So if you can clean out those things that you don't use all the time, that you don't need running in the background, you will get a lot of system speed out of that. That's really the second thing and will have a big impact. Most people are just totally unaware of all the stuff that's running that they don't know about and they don't use on a regular basis. Well, the first thing you need to do is look and see what they are. And the tool that I like, which is a free one and it does double duty, is Windows Defender. And there are lots of tools. You can actually use NFConfig. There are lots of other tools out there. But Windows Defender is Microsoft's antivirus program, okay, and it's free. In fact, if you got Windows Vista, you've got it already. It's built into the operating system. Well, if you go to the Tools section of Windows Defender, it will list all the stuff that starts up automatically. So there's your list, okay? And then it'll let you turn them on or turn them off. So that's good. But then you get to the point, well, what is this thing? What is ADCDE.exe? You know, I don't know what that file is. Is it good? Is it bad? There are lots of databases out there on the web where people do keep track of these things. But I got to tell you, even better than going to these databases and looking them up, is just Google it. If you've got a file name that you don't know what it is, and if it isn't obviously an Adobe file or a Microsoft file or whatever, just Google it. Somebody has dealt with that file before. Somebody has looked it up, and they're going to tell you whether it's a good file or a bad file. Yeah. But, you know, so Google the stuff, and chances are somebody found it. If it's not there, chances are it's spyware. But there are also big databases on the website of these places, of these files. TechSpot.com has a good database. Sysinfo.org has a good database. I mean, people do keep track of this stuff. And here, let's put it this way. It's unlikely you're the first person to have to deal with that file. Somebody's dealt with it before and can tell you whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And if it's a bad thing, unclick the thing and don't load it. Well, you know, of course, course, the first thing you want to do before you make any changes like that is you do want to back up your data, which you should be doing on a daily or weekly basis anyway, you know, just in case. And also use system restore in Windows. So, you know, set a restore point so that if you do mess something up that you should have mucked up, you can go back and start Windows in safe mode and use system restore to restore the system back to the previous point before you made that change. You know, that's just good common sense, that belt suspenders sort of safety things that you need to do before you make any of these major changes. Yeah, well, that's like it's an ultimate speed-up. The ultimate speed-up is by a new computer. Before you get to that, and a lot of people do this. A lot of people do the clean install of Windows. In fact, a lot of people do it right after they buy a new PC because, you know, well, you know, I said earlier that, you know, when you buy a new PC, it runs pretty fast. It hasn't been all clogged up yet. Well, there's been some clogged up already. You know, I just bought a new PC, and, you know, it came with all sorts of trial versions of this and test versions of that and free version of that, and here's a toolbar, and here's a link to a dial-up internet connector, and, you know, and you don't need all that stuff. And you can go through and delete it all manually. You can use a program like Decrapifier, PC Decrapifier, to get rid of it. Or you can just do a clean install of Windows right from the boot, so you get an even cleaner PC than you would have had otherwise. Well, you know, it kind of depends on the individual, on how confident you are in your own technical abilities. You know, if you're okay with doing some of these minor changes and they don't do any work and then the next step up is a major thing and you're not comfortable with that, then don't do it. You know, work at your own comfort level. But I think most people, when they're faced with a decision to buy a new PC, really comes when you're installing new software. In most cases, you can get your old PC back to its original working condition, and that's fine for the software that you installed 2 years ago. But if you install a new piece of software today, especially something that's very demanding, like some of the new video games, video editing programs are very demanding also, and you find that these new programs just don't run fast on your old PC, well, there may be nothing you can do to speed up your old PC fast enough to run these new programs. And that's when you have to start thinking about buying a new computer. Well, you know, and this is the thing. Sometimes you say, oh, my computer's slow, and it really isn't your computer that's slow. It's the internet or your internet connection that's slow. And there are things you can just speed that up also. I mean, the obvious one is, you know, go to a faster internet connection. If you're a poor soul still out there on dial-up connection, you know, go to a broadband connection. You know, even if you're on broadband, you may have choices with your provider to go to a faster connection. But even within there are things you can do to, you know, to clean out your cache, even move to a faster browser. I mean, some browsers like Google Chrome are faster than Internet Explorer. You know, if you're using, for example, Google Docs out on the web, a nice cloud application, I've written about it, it just runs faster in Google Chrome than it does in Internet Explorer. Mm-hmm. definitely. And like I said, and there are things you can just to speed up your browser also. You should clean out your cookies from time to time. You should clean out the temporary file for cache. You know, keep that as small as possible. You can even reconfigure the browser to use a different DNS server. You know, most people don't know that, the URL that you type in the address bar actually doesn't go to a website. It actually has to reference a numeric address that the website has, and that's all done on a server out on the web called a DNS server. And, well, some of them are faster than others in doing this translation. You can actually reconfigure your browser to use a different DNS server than your ISP might use and really get some noticeable speed ups in web browsing. Good one. And that's a little bit most people don't know about, and it's actually a very easy thing to change over on your system. And like I said, you get some noticeable improvement. I mean, some DNS servers, some ISPs are really slow, especially if you're out in the wild using somebody's public Wi-Fi thing at a coffee shop or whatnot. Those are really slow. That's where the open DNS really comes in. You can find my book at hopefully at any bookstore. You can find it online at Amazon or at my own website at Molehill Group, M-O-L-E-H-I-L-L Group.com. Great. Well, I don't want to pretend to be free technical support. I can't answer everybody's overly technical questions, but I certainly love to hear from readers. And if I can't offer any advice, I try to. Yeah. Yeah, it's always good talking to you guys, and I hope everybody's doing good down there. There you go. The longer you wait, the more restaurants close down up here. You better make it quick. Good to be on. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go to the next slide.
Feel a hot wind on my shoulder. station. They talk about the U.S. inflation. I understand just a little.
No comprendo hay mucho ruido.
I'm on a Mexican radio.
Say just what does she say?
I'm on a Mexican radio.